took a hiatus yesterday. I could have done the show if I wanted to do it on my phone in the WPHM van as we were driving back from Mackinac Island. I think when showtime hit, we were around Saginaw. And so I could have done it that way, but that's a little difficult. So we just took the day off for travel. It's a travel day. and we're back in studio today, and we are joined by Joe Pace Jr. I got to do that nowadays. I miss the old days when I could just say Joe Pace and everybody knew who I was talking about.
Yeah, me too.
Now I have to identify you by a specific way. How you been?
Good, good. I'm happy to hear you got a day off.
yeah, it was nice. We had a nice time up at the island this year. The boat race was extraordinarily fast. It doesn't end until like the middle of the night, Monday into Tuesday. It was over at 9:30 Monday morning. It was the fastest race ever in the 93-year
well,
history.
Well, you know, we had this conversation last year, and you said last year was the fastest someone ever had gone up to Mackinac.
Yeah, so and this year somebody almost got the record. They missed by 14 seconds of making a new record.
Oh, from last year's time? Oh, wow. But know what? I think it should be go down in the record books at the tail end. The caboose made it in faster than ever before.
They call that the pickle boat.
Unless there's guys still out there that are just going in circles on the middle of the lake. Did you guys count boats as they were coming in?
Yeah, and they've got GPS things on them now, which is really cool. So you can actually see where they're at. So when you're sitting there going, where the hell are these guys? You can look it up on the computer.
Oh, so it's the same thing parents put on their teenage kids' cars?
Pretty much the same thing. What you been doing all summer?
Man, just trying to stay active, be out in the community. Seniors taking on a lot of the player stuff, so I get to be out there just moving around. I actually just walked across the street from Alpine Cycle. I was over there hanging out with those guys. And
they're listening. They're listening.
Oh, yeah, they knew I was coming over here, so they knew I'd be here. But, you know, just trying to touch base with a lot of the sponsors and get ready for next year, and also, you know, try to gear up for some new promotions and some new big nights and stuff like that. So, you know, anytime we get to give back, it's a really good time for the community and the team and the players when they're here and they get to interact with these charities and fundraisers. You know, they really get a lot out of it also.
The ever-changing Federal Hockey League is ever-changing. Let's see. Last week, St. Clair Shores moved to Ontario. They moved to
Well, I'm happy that they finally announced it, because that has been official on the phone calls and emails for like since April. So they have been in Kingsville, Ontario, in my mind since April. So I'm happy they told the fans.
Well, so how's that affect the schedule? Is everything that says St. Clair Shores on it just going to stay the same, but they're Kingsville now?
Yep.
Okay.
Maybe probably because they're too lazy to change it. I literally thought they were going to try to fool everyone and go all year still being St. Clair Shores. Like, I didn't know what they were doing. I was like so nervous. I was like, am I not supposed to say anything?
Yeah. It's for those that don't know, it's over by Leamington, which actually there's a big cannery in Leamington. And the guy that owned the cannery almost put an Ontario Hockey League team here in Port Huron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he had the check in his hand. He was getting ready to slide it across to Morris Snyder, who was running McMoran Arena at the time. And at the last second, he chickened. It's like $1 million check. The guy, I can't think of his name now, but he's been the president or the commissioner of the OHL for 1,000 years. Was in the room too, and he was like, and he pulled it back at the last second, and the deal fell through. And a week later, we got the Colonial Hockey team.
Oh boy,
the Border Cats came in.
Well, no matter what,
hockey
was
coming. So it was that close to being
an
OHL team. Yeah, we were getting hockey one way or the other, but the OHL had the first shot. The guy just, he's like, $1 million. I don't, nah.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
And it was even more money 20-something years ago.
Yeah, back then it was even more money. You're right. So a hockey team there. So that moves them a little bit further away. It's still not too bad. They're still the closest team to us.
No, yeah, they are, and oddly enough, us and them are the closest teams to Winston-Salem as well. So Allison in our office mapped out everything by mileage of travel, and us going to Winston-Salem is the closest travel for Winston-Salem.
Yeah, good luck to those guys.
And that's a 12-hour trip.
Yeah, but at least they're doing it right. It's not like you're there on Friday and home on Saturday. It's you go down there and you're going to play three games with them before you come home.
Well, and that was something I pushed for, Allison, everyone kind of pushed for. It creates more of a maybe a junior A or college schedule look, but it's going to save our bodies and the travel and expenses. So, you know, throughout time of the season, it's going to help over the course of time. But yeah, people look at it and they say, well, I don't want to watch Danville come to town three in a row. But you know what? It could create a big rivalry that weekend, especially if the first game's a little rougher than most. So, you know, I think it's going to, you know, embark for a pretty exciting season on some weekends.
We do it in the playoffs.
Yep, so, absolutely.
You know, and people don't seem to mind then. You guys played a couple games down there last year. Just get a feel. Are people excited? I mean, they've had hockey before. It's been several years since I've been down there. But are people excited? Did you have good crowds while you were down there?
The crowds were good. I actually I played there in the SPHL their first year, the ESPYs first year, and I saw a lot of familiar faces around, a lot of the old Booster Club members. So I feel like they went without hockey for such a long time that they had time to gear up for it and get ready. So the hockey crew down there is excited, and I feel like the other people that you know may not be hockey enthusiasts, they're excited too, because you know if it's not college football or basketball down there for Wake Forest, there really wasn't much to do. And, you know, the drive to Raleigh to watch the Hurricanes is quite a drive. Yeah. So, you know, I feel like they're going to do really well. And, you know, I feel like some teams are going to be jealous when they see some of their crowds that they have. But, you know, we'll just have to challenge them.
You know, is it still that same rink where they used to have the picnic tables and the hot tub on the one end?
Well, there's no hot tub, but the picnic tables are still out in the lobby. And that's so when they have open skate, everyone gets to tie their skates on the picnic tables.
They took the hot tub out. Man, that was the best part about going down there.
I'll have to call Scott Brand and tell him to get back with the pool company and put the hot tub in the corner again.
We were down there years ago. I don't know if you've ever met or heard of John Blum. He played some in the NHL with the Oilers and the Bruins. And John's brother Jeff played here in Port Huron. That's how I know him. And John coached here briefly. But so John's coaching the Border Cats. It's actually his first game behind the bench. He replaced Doug Crossman. You remember Doug Crossman played for the Hawks,
yeah,
and for the Flyers. So Doug got fired here, and John came in to close out the season. And we're down in Winston-Salem, and the kids from Wake Forest are all sitting in the section. Like, they sold out the section behind our bench with all the college kids, and they're getting rowdy and having a good time. So at the end of the first period, while the guys are back in the locker room, coach is out on the bench, and he's got all our white towels, and he's got some hockey tape, and he's taping the white towels up on the glass behind our bench so that it blocks the view of everybody in that section so that they can't see us on the bench because they're banging on the glass and giving us a hard time. So he blocked them all out by putting up the towels.
Oh, man. He was making friends.
I thought it was pretty creative. Eventually, somebody came over and told me I had to take it down.
Well, yeah, I could only imagine.
They were blocking their view. And,
oh, yeah.
But I think he made his point.
Right? A few years ago in Danbury, I put the white towel on the stick when we were getting too many penalties, and I was throwing it up like we surrender, like in an old war movie. And then I find out that there's a bunch of coaches in the NHL that have done that too.
Roger Nielsen.
Yeah, I thought I was being original.
That was the one that now Senior wasn't even coaching at the time. I don't even know if he was involved. He might have even been in Dayton at that time, but he was there watching the game, and he went after Paul Jean. And
yep. Oh, yeah.
Fun times. Fun times at the FHL. Yep. What should be fun this year, at least what I think will be fun for Prowler fans, was Berlin dropped out. So there was a draft for their players. and your dad, being a no-nonsense sort of guy, took Nicholas Wright, and I think he's going to be an instant fan favorite here.
Well, you know, with the dispersal draft, you know, it's nice that they give everyone the opportunity to grab a guy and not let all of them become free agents. But, you know, we knew it was coming for a few weeks, and then it got postponed for another few. And we really had some time to gear up for it and look at the roster. It wasn't just kind of thrown on us. And we really thought that Cornwall or Winston-Salem would grab them because Berlin's coach, Andre Neal, is now down there in Winston-Salem. So we thought he was going to, you know, roll the dice and take him early, but he was still around by pick four. And I said, I was like, I'll give up everything to get that guy. I was like,
now, number one, it's good for us because you don't have to play against him.
Well, if I had to watch a teammate fight him, or if I had to fight him again, it was just gonna, I'd just pack her in. I can't do that to my body anymore.
He's a big dude, number one. Number two, he showed a lot of improvement with his game from his first year in this league to last year. And you know, when senior gets his hands on him, I bet he makes him an even better player.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's held him back from maybe making a jump up for a call up, or, you know, to kind of get a taste at the next level, is that skating and, you know, that little bit of skill work. And that's what senior really thrives on, is actually coaching and teaching and molding. So, you know, a guy like that is definitely a project for him, because he knows he could play, he knows he could fight, but now turn him into a guy that you could put on the ice in any situation and really throw a team off. Because if he's in front of the net on power plays, you know, that just, you know, that adds a whole new mix for that defense there. Trying to move that guy out of the front of the net, if he's solid, it's impossible.
I like the D. I like these young guys that we had here last year, and already a couple of them have signed back. Throw in you, and I saw that we got Oselins in the draft, so got some size. We got the experience, but we've also got some youth back there. I like Wadsworth. I really like Baker. I don't know what Josh Colton is going to do, but if he comes back, I like that.
And it's really odd. Like, right now we have, you know, like a stacked house on D, and we still have D and good D looking for spots. So, you know, I think we'll surprise you and some other people when we come out of the gate and it's completely different than last year, and we resemble a team from the first year, and, you know, having some new faces. But, you know, Eggers Oselins, we had him last year and traded him to Berlin, and then he had a really successful year, and to get him back was, you know, that's huge for us, because he is a young guy with like 6 years experience already, because he started at 18. So it's going to be nice to have guys like this back around and in the room, and especially a guy like Nick Wright up front to, you know, help out, you know, the Mafuses and the Parkhouse and the Robertson, things like that, create room for them, create, you know, let them have a bigger atmosphere out there, let them play with that bit of an edge, because they know someone's right behind them willing to do whatever it takes to protect them.
You just mentioned the three guys. Did they even realize what they were doing, like the whole second half of the season?
No,
the numbers that they were putting up, it was just
the
ridiculous.
Only time they would realize is when you would tell senior, or you would tell Allison, and then it would get relayed to them, and then they would realize what they just did as a group in the last couple of days. And even us playing with them, we didn't even realize what was going on until it was like the three of them combined in the last 10 games combined have 70 points. And it's like, wait, what? So that means like one of them has 30 points or more by themselves in the last 10 games.
There was a stretch of like, I think it was like 15 games, and they had 110 points. Three guys.
Yep.
110 in 15 games.
Well, and that kind of throws off our fans too when they see the end of the year and they see the player individual stats, and 1, 2, 3 is all Port Huron, Foose, Robertson, Parkhouse. And they're looking at it and they're saying, well, Port Huron had the best line in the league. How'd they not make playoffs? But really, those guys turned it on when we were trying to make that end of the year push. Yeah. And they really showed their true colors, because, you know, we were a few games out and we're battling, and they did everything they could as a line there to make sure that we had every chance to be competitive and make the playoffs. And, you know, coming up like a game and a half short on points, it was
That was the thing. We didn't miss the playoffs at the end of the year. We missed the playoffs loss at the start of the year, the way we played like before Christmas, because pretty much after the first of the year, I wouldn't have wanted to play us.
Well, and that's where last year, you know, I just talked to a lady the other day. She said you guys went through a lot with the coaching change and all this, so you guys could get back at her. And it was actually Jack Campbell's mom. We were talking hockey, and, you know, she said, how was that for you guys? And it was like, well, you know, really we needed it because the first half of the year was so poor and we weren't making any progress and there was, you know, no light at the end of the tunnel. It looked like it was just going to be the same for the rest of the year. And, you know, for a guy like me that plays on the team and runs the team, you know, thinking about finishing at the bottom with Cornwall and St. Clair Shores or only having less than a dozen wins, like, you know, that makes you want to crawl under a rock and never come out.
Especially at the, you know, you're just so used to winning. We won the year before, and I know the other teams that you've been with, you've been on all winners the last 4 or 5 years. So you don't want to miss the playoffs. I think if we would have gotten in, we would have had a legitimate shot.
If any of our fans watched the two series play out, definitely we could have done something, because Berlin swept Danbury and then Danville should have probably been beaten by Watertown. The refs helped them quite a bit in Danville there. So anyone that didn't watch those games,
if you didn't know, in one of the games they had 9 power plays in the first period.
Yeah, so that's some of the things. I know some of our fans, they tune out, you know, if we're not involved. But yeah, Danville getting 9 power plays in the first period puts them on the power play for 18 of the 20 minutes of, you know, the first period of a playoff game.
And then, you know, if you're down in that building 2 or 3 goals at the end of the first period, forget it.
No, and with the team they had last year, they had a team that, you know, their old guys weren't old, but for an FHL roster, you know, having guys that are in their 6th season and a few of them, you know, that's an old team, because, you know, guys move on quite a bit and we move guys up, and also guys move on to, you know, go get careers in the workforce and go get full-time jobs with pensions. So, you know, we lose guys at a young age in this league. So, you know, having a team like that, you know, it is, that's like what we were the first year here, you know, and that's how we lost so many players after the championship.
Speaking of Danville, and I don't know how much he's going to play, because I know he's got other situations and kids and stuff, but Tesserero, nice.
Yeah, right. Well, and that's it, you know.
Nice. He'll help no matter if he plays the whole season or part of the season, whatever he does, he'll help.
Well, you know, signings like that, you know, and even I don't know if they made it public yet. I try to stay up to date with everyone's stuff, but it's hard even staying up to date with our Prowlers and all the releases. But Jonathan Giuliano, a Michigan kid, Clinton Township, you know, he was in St. Clair Shores all last year and then went and, you know, got the title with Danville towards the end. So, you know, he's on our roster. He's going to be a part of the team, and he's another guy, family, kids. And, he's a guy that could get in 99% of the games, you know, guys like him and Arnott. So, you know, being in Michigan, you know, I feel like we have a step up on a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. You guys start a little bit later, like a week or two later this year. So the first game isn't until the first weekend of November.
Yeah, it's nice we miss Halloween.
Yeah.
So we could do some promotions in town. We could get out. We could be active and interact with the fans and promote, you know, the game's second weekend in November. But, yeah, we'll start off in Danville first weekend in November. So, you know, really, really stick it to everyone when they raise the banner up in front of all of us. So I'll hear, you know, I'm sure I'll get censored right now, but the enough paces suck or pace you suck. You know, while all this is going on and everyone like, don't you wish you were still here? Like, listen, I live in St. Clair County now. I live on Lake Huron.
We
I don't need
water,
Danville.
Yeah.
I don't need Danville. I got the blue water, baby.
Trevor got the job in Watertown, so instant rivalry there.
Yep, you know, congrats to him. So, you know, everyone that wants to see competitive hockey, they'll get to see it again, because, you know, Kraz will definitely want to win games when he comes back here. Yeah. And
everything, like on the surface, everything will be cool. Everybody will shake hands.
Yeah.
Everybody, when the puck drops, he will want to win and we will want to beat him.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I'm sure even coming in the building, it won't be such a warm greeting as always. So, you know, I'm sure we get warmer greetings from Esposito.
Poor Espo. Hey, Joe, good to see you as always.
No, absolutely. I just wanted to throw it out there. There's a little girl in town that just got diagnosed with cancer. And August 15th, you'll catch us down at Casey's. If you mention her name or Team Olivia, 10% of your meal, the proceeds are going to go to her family. So that's something huge for us coming up because that hits home. A kid that's 3.5 years old that just needs a little help.
Yeah. That's cool. You guys get involved at. And season tickets are on sale now as well for the Prowlers, and I know you guys got a lot of good deals going.
Oh, yeah, we got some new seats on the glass and moved some suites around and things like that, and Rob and the arena crew have been expanding and, you know, tinkering with new things in the bar area, so our sponsors and some event night people are really excited. I know Earl Smith's pumped up to do some new stuff there, so there's going to be quite a bit of new things going on. It's going to be a new atmosphere, hopefully, and, bring in that crowd that makes a lot of noise. Yeah.
You guys ready for hockey? I know I am.
It's Ducks is.
Hey. We're not quite to the end of July, but I'm ready for hockey.
Yeah, I'm sure Brady is too once his football season's over.
He'll
best
always send me.
To that guy.
He follows it. I mean, he really does. A lot of times he'll go, you see this? This just got posted on site.
Yep.
So he's getting into it. He's getting into it. He was kind of disappointed when we didn't get in last year. He was with me right down there to the end with the calculator out, trying to figure out what we have to do, what has to happen, who has to do this.
Well, I definitely appreciate his support and like to have a guy like him support us, but then also be able to jump in and fill in. Cause I remember last year looking up and being like, who's on the mic right now? Looking up in the box. I'm like, who's that in the backwards hat? I'm like,
he likes doing
Brady?
It too.
No. Yeah. It's fun. It's fun to hear him up there and let him, dabble into new aspects of the job.
Perfect. All right. Joe Pace Jr. joining us today on the program. I'm way late for a break, but we were talking.
Yep.
Give me a break. All right. We'll be back.